We've been tracking through this series on Philippians, and today is our final one, our final exploration into what Paul was communicating to a church in a city called Philippi, where Christians were gathered. And in this particular reading, the line that stands out that I kind of want to focus us in on today is a line that if you've been in the church for any number of years, this will be very familiar language to you. It's the words that says, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." You guys heard that once or twice before? Yeah. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So let me tell you a story as we try and grapple with what this actually means and how it can actually transform our lives. Because it's quite powerful, but it can sit in that cliche basket of we've heard it so many times, what does it actually say? So, allow me to tell you a story. A number of years ago, Lyndall and myself and our kids, we went on a holiday and we went up to Caloundra. And as we drove up on a Friday afternoon up to where we were going to stay, the rain started bucketing in and it was, who likes driving in the rain? Oh, Detlef, there's always one. And so it's pouring down with rain. And as we move, I think, from the M1 onto the M3 north of Brisbane, you circle round and we're in gridlock. So the traffic's just backed up. And as my car sitting in traffic starts to edge forward, it does this. You ever had that? If you've had that, you know that that's a flat tire. Like, oh no. I'm like, it's pouring with rain. So I pull out of traffic. It wasn't high speed. So it just took a while to get the car onto the shoulder. And it was a big shoulder. And so I parked the car and sat there and it was bucketing down. And I realized what you've probably just realized, that the spare tire in the boot is underneath all our luggage. I was like, oh no. So I said to the kids, I said, all right, I'm going to get wet, boy. It's a road. You just stay there. And they were obedient for the first 3 minutes, I promise. So I get out and Lyndall's there too. We have this awkward thing where she's trying to keep me dry and then the luggage dry with an umbrella and the luggage one, mind you. And so we pull all this stuff out. I grab this tire and then, of course, you can't just pull it out. You've got to, I'm like, oh. So we drag this thing out. And as I drag it out and I'm about to pull the jack out, I'm about to stick it under the car. As I'm about to do all that, a ute pulls off the road in front of us, parks, and the guy jumps out and says those words that everybody in that situation wants to hear. Can I help? Yes, you can. Please. And he was amazing. He clearly changed a million tires in his life and stuck the jack on. Car was up in no time. And I'm just, you know, I'm just doing the helpful thing. I'm like, you're doing good. It's great. And I've taken the car, the old tire, we've stuck that back in, loaded the boot carefully because it's on a jack. He didn't realize that. So I come back and he finishes. He goes, you're all good to go. We lower the car. And it was spot on. Now, here's the cool bit. So he says, I said, thank you so much. And he's like, well, I'm either going to be sitting 5 meters in traffic or I can help you out. So I really appreciate it. He takes off, jumps in the car. I get back in the car and the kids say, here it is. Kids say, you did a good job fixing the car, Dad. Yep, sure did. And then one of them goes, oh, you didn't actually fix it though, did you, Dad? And I said, no, I kind of fixed it through the skills and strength of another. It was much easier to do that than actually change the tire myself. So I achieved something. I did something through the strength of another. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And they arrived at this saying. It's beautiful in what Fiona read to us this morning. There's a build-up to this. It's not just meant to be understood isolated. It's like as an encouragement. That's good, but it's not meant to be that. It fits in this context. And the context says this. Paul's starting and he's talking about this and he says, you know, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. So what he says is he leads up in two verses to say, I can do all things through Christ. He says, I've learned to be content. If Paul had to learn it, it means once upon a time, Paul was not content in every circumstance. Who here is encouraged that the Apostle Paul was not as content as we receive? The Apostle Paul was once in your shoes. Regardless of where you are with feeling like your life is in content, the Apostle Paul was in your shoes. So let me ask you a question. As we start to think about this, are there areas or levels of discontent in your life? You don't have to share about it, you don't have to tell anyone about it. Just think on that for a moment. Are there areas or a level of discontentment in your life, in your soul, in your heart? My small table on Friday morning, I get together at an ungodly hour. Well, actually, God is there. It is a godly hour. It just feels ungodly at 5:30 when we get up. But we get there and sit around the table, and one of the things that comes up is, what are we talking about on Sunday? And so I share a little bit of a summary of this. One of the guys there says to me, have you heard of the thought experiment that goes something like this? If everything were taken away from you, would you still feel contented? So he shared that around our small table. Let me tell you, the next 3 minutes was very quiet, a little bit awkward, until somebody's prayer was answered that the subject would get changed. So hard, isn't it, to go, am I truly content? If I lost everything, would I still have the same contentment? Because Paul tells me you can learn to have that. If we're honest with each other, I think we'd say that I don't always feel content with my life, with the things that are going on. Some of you might say, contentment eludes me. Like, I think I'm on the right path, and I think I'm there, and I'm not content, and I need to keep pursuing something. But Paul has a secret. He has a secret to help us understand this and unlock it. He says in verse 12, I know what it is to be in need. In fact, I know what it is to have plenty, more than I could ever need. He says, but I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. So the circumstance he's talking about is not only when you don't have enough. We're probably very familiar with that. I don't have enough and therefore I'm not content. But Paul is saying, you can be incontent when you have too much. When you have too much. We are told by our culture that the best way to be content is be richer, be safer, have better relationships, have better health, have a great lifestyle, and you will be content. The Bible doesn't support that framework. The Bible doesn't go, yes, that's great advice. The Bible says, no, 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 there's a secret. It's a secret not to be held from us, but a secret because most of the population from Paul's time to now hasn't worked it out. You know, the greatest number per capita of those who are struggling with a mental health issue or anxiety or depression or something else like that are from countries that are in the top 20% of the world's wealthiest nations, where the standard of living is exponentially higher than the poverty line. So people generally in our world who have more stuff and opportunity and wealth and all of that are more miserable, are less content. The more things we have, the less content we get. But we're told, just get more things that you want and you'll feel like you've made it. But it's not the truth, is it? We know it's not the truth. There's something in our soul that says that is a lie. There's not truth in that. You see, having more things leads to more worry. Great wealth can come, great discontentment. It doesn't necessarily work that way. But just like great poverty can lead to great discontentment. The secret to a full soul that Paul is talking about has nothing to do with how much stuff we have or how much stuff we don't have or the circumstance we're in. Our contentment is not tied to those things. So then Paul shares his secret. Here's the secret. He says that whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Now, some of you guys might know June Manby. June is a beautiful lady. She's been part of our church for a long, long while. She's currently not able to come because she's in care in a home a little bit, quite a bit north of where we are. But June, when she would come to the service, and I would speak with June, I would say, "How's your week, June?" And she would say, every time without fail, she would say, "I'm just taking it one day at a time." And then she'd say, "But the Lord has been good to me." Every time. And sometimes we'd get chatting and I'd say, "Yeah, tell me some of your life and your story." And she would share openly about some of the horrible things she's endured, the pain and the heartache and the tragedy and these losses. But every story was accompanied by the strength of God. Every story she shared, "But God was there and God was my strength and God led me through. I'm just taking it one day at a time. The Lord has been good to me." I found when June comes and when I speak to her, she preaches this verse to me. Just by her testimony and her life, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can go through the darkest valleys through Christ who gives me strength. I can go through the greatest seasons of despair with Christ who gives me strength." See, this phrase can be tricky to grasp because of that word "through" that sits in there. How do we do things through Christ? But you're actually all very familiar with this concept. We use it all the time. We give to the poor through organizations like Compassion or World Vision. We educate our children through a school or an educational system. We as a church, we meet and reach and bless the homeless through Walk With Us that meets on Tuesday night. We go on mission through the church. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. And so Paul tells us that he's learnt how to do that. He's learnt it. He's learnt to rely on God's strength, and he's realized there's two things that stop us, two things that will trip you up at every turn, two things that it doesn't matter how holy you are and what you think and act, these two things will hold God's strength from you. And those two things, and it won't be a surprise, one is pride, and the other is fear. Our proud hearts never get to experience the wonder of this transaction that God wants us to have between our strength and his strength. And our fearful hearts, we see a glimmer of the strength in God, but we're too fearful. Our pride and our fear, they hijack us. So on our way to doing all things through Christ who gives us strength, we need to address our pride and our fear. And this shouldn't become a surprise to you, but what is the antidote for pride and fear? It is, you're all scared, don't be scared, it's humility, right? We go, I'm just going to act more humble. That's how I'm going to get over my pride. I'm just going to act more humble. I'm just going to, God, just give me humility because I can't conjure it up. I'm just going to find what it says in the scriptures and I'm going to ingest that and I'm going to become humble. You cannot act more humbly. You can't be humble. You can't do anything to make yourself be humble. Humility is the response of the human condition when our souls are confronted with the majesty of God. We are humbled when we meet Jesus and we go, "Ah, that's who you are. And as a result, this is who I am. I am not worthy." And pride and fear are gone because Christ is there. It's the natural result of our proximity to Jesus. Move closer to Christ, your heart will be humbled because you will realize who you're not and who God is. And that's where God's strength becomes available, you see. The Apostle Paul, I've shared this before, had this incredible transformation. He was on the road to Damascus, and as he was traveling on that road, Jesus appeared to him and sent him blind and knocked him off his horse. Now, what you need to realize, is Megan all right? Maybe a drink of water? She's going to have 1,000 drinks of water now. Paul gets struck off his horse. He's blind and he's in the dirt. And Paul's a Pharisee. Paul is a learned man of the law. Paul is someone that if you said, what is the most valuable thing never to be taken from you? He would say, my eyesight. Don't take my eyesight. I need to be able to read. It's where my identity comes from. And he gets struck off a horse. He's blind. And here's the Spirit of God say, go to Damascus, stay at a place called Straight Street, and help will be there soon. He is so humbled by the presence of Jesus. He's absolutely humbled in this space. She's good, good. He's absolutely humbled in this space because he encounters Jesus. His proximity to Jesus becomes closer and closer. He encounters Jesus and he realizes that everything he'd built up in his life to achieve and to be is useless. It's worthless. It's nothing in the presence of Jesus. Jesus strips from Paul everything. And Paul discovers that he's content. He's content in that space. It's madness, right? He loses everything and he is somehow content in that space. And then he spends the next 20, 30, 40 years learning how to live in that. He experiences it, he's content, and then he goes into life, and as he goes into life, he has to relearn what it means to be content. That secret he discovers that day is a secret he then starts to live with. He starts to incorporate into his life that the closer you are to Jesus, the more your contentment is. Don't worry about the stuff you have, the stuff you don't have, the circumstances you're in. None of it matters. What matters when we think about contentment is the closeness you are to Jesus. Because when we're close to Jesus, our pride and our fear, they have no currency. They have no value. They have no worth. They have no power. They fade away. They leave us. And instead, we are filled with this gratitude for God. The closer you are to Jesus, the higher your contentment rating is. So Paul says his final words to the Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so he's learnt to live with everything and he's learnt to live with nothing because he found contentment in Jesus. See, when you are content with Christ and Christ alone, you possess a strength that you cannot have through anything else. See, being strong in the way that this is talking about isn't any sort of faith build or muscle build or any of that. It's actually going, all I have and all I need is Jesus, and he is able to do and to shift and to move anything that I'm facing. I can do all this through Christ who gives me strength. So we have to learn this from Jesus. If you experience this morning a sense of contentment, there is no guarantee that that sense of contentment will stay with you unless you decrease the distance between you and Jesus and you walk with Jesus. Then you will find that contentment starts to shape your life and shape the way you approach difficulties and situations and scenarios. So let me ask you a question. As we're thinking about discontentment, in your life, would you say your discontentment comes through having too much or not enough? Don't need to answer that out loud. Is the contentment in your heart because there is too much, or because you're desperately lacking something that you feel you need? I want to speak to both those things as we wrap up today with a couple of stories. And so you may know that last week I spent a week ago I spent that week fasting. And so I fasted all food and just water for a whole 7 days. And if you want to, if you're like, how did that go for you? I'd spoken it on Coomera last week. So there's you can find it on our website. Go to our website and you can find that message. So I'm not going to go into that. But there were so many times when I wanted to quit. I'm just like, it's too tough. I want to quit. I'm done. This is horrible. Why are we doing that? I wanted to eat something, or I wanted to drink something, or I want to just wrap up this whole fast thing and discount it as crazy. But I knew that before I started, there were words I had to hold on to so that when I wanted to quit, I would have something else to hold on to enable me to go forward. And they were words that I shared here a couple of weeks ago. It was words that came out of Jesus when he fasted. Remember, he fasted for 40 days, 40 nights. He went into the wilderness and he spent this time, and then he was challenged. He was met by the devil, or Satan, who challenged him on this idea of food and then fame and then power. And after 40 days and 40 nights with no food, he was at the bottom of his physical resources, but he still found the strength to say no. And I'm going to quote Jesus, because he's pretty good to quote Jesus. He said this, he says to Satan, he says, it's written, like it's down, it's sold. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And what he's not doing there, he's not referencing scripture. The scripture was the word of God. He's referencing what the Spirit speaks and how the Spirit speaks to us. He's talking about when we run out of ourselves, God's Spirit and the strength that God's Spirit brings to us is there. So if you're facing a scenario today where you're going, I'm feeling discontent because something's been taken away from me, because I'm lacking something, because I'm desperate for this, and it might be a relationship to come right. It might be an opportunity to fall in your lap. You're missing something. Jesus says, the voice of the Spirit is enough for you at this time. It causes us to retreat from our need and retreat into Jesus, doesn't it? To be encouraged in Christ, to be close to Christ, and to realize he has a strength that is well beyond our own strength. Because we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. But what about when we have too much? What about when there's too much excess, there's too much plenty? What do we do in that space? Well, I've not shared this story publicly ever. I've told plenty of people, but I've not shared this publicly. But 2.5 years ago, God spoke to me really clearly about giving up alcohol. Now, I've never been a big drinker, but I was probably having a standard drink a day, and it was a good way to finish off the day as a marker. We made it through the day, and I can just relax in this. But sometimes drink with friends. It wasn't an issue, but I felt one day God say, you can give that up now. I wasn't ready for it. I wasn't really like spending any sort of significant spiritual time. I just felt God say, you can give that up now. You know, my first thought, I hate to admit this, my first thought was, how can I be content without it? How do I know the day comes to a close? How can I be social without it? I was horrified at my own thought. But that's how it was. See, I felt like the gap that would be created through my current practice and what God was calling me to was way too big. It's like, I can't, God. I don't know how to move from here to here. But I also know that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so I stopped for a day. Like, I'm just going to stop for a day. Didn't need to freak out my psyche or everything else that was going on. I'm just going to stop for a day. And then I went, I can just stop for another day. And then another day, and then another day, and then another day, and then another day. And And I was so surprised at what happened because I felt more content than I'd ever felt before. I felt like I'd been moved closer to Christ. And in the last 2.5 years, I think I've had 4 drinks. I didn't count them. It wasn't about that. It wasn't about not drinking alcohol. It was about God saying, do this for me. Do this for me. And me going, it's beyond my strength. And God said, no, no, no. Like, let's do this together. And he became my strength for that. I discovered that I didn't actually need what our culture says you need. Because I really can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You really can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Now, since that day, I've never thirsted for it. I've never wanted it. I've never desired it. I've never fantasized about it. I haven't even missed it. I can't believe it. This strength that was well beyond my own strength enabled these things to happen. Now, this isn't an anti-alcohol thing. I don't want, if the Spirit of God convicts you on whatever God convicts you on, don't hear me say you shouldn't drink, be like me. Here, if we devote ourselves to Christ, there is this world of wonder and delight in him that we can experience that we may be thinking, I haven't got the strength to ever get there. And Jesus says, you can do all things through me. I'll give you that strength. See, Paul spends his life simply positioning himself close to Jesus. That's the secret. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Oh, yeah, that's the secret, Ralph. It's a bit underwhelming. That's the secret. It's a secret because it's not well known. It's not well practiced. So my encouragement to you this week is to seek the Holy Spirit. We're going to have a time in just a moment for you to do that, to seek the Holy Spirit. To find the strength of God in the situations you are facing, in the circumstance that you're in. Because those circumstances, they cannot ever make you content. But Jesus wants to. And so if you were here last week, I shared a psalm that I felt God had given, had sort of written for us. And during the week, Ben's like, I'll put that to music. I'm like, no way, this would be amazing. So I said to Ben, I'm like, can you play it over us this morning? So Ben's going to play those words over us as an invitation for God's Spirit to minister to you where you're at. And once that's concluded, I'm going to kind of bless you and conclude that formal part of the service. We've got a couple of, Fiona and Coralie are going to be in the corner. They just want to pray with you. And so if you would like prayer this morning, please move toward here, and you can wait till everybody else looks the other way so no one's looking. You don't need to worry about that. If you want to come talk with me or you want me to pray for you, please come down. And equally, if you're sitting next to someone that you're like, I wish they'd pray for me, ask them. They would be delighted, I guarantee it. So let me pray as we just move into this reflective time. Lord, you have brought us to this place this morning because you want to become our all in all. You no longer want our souls to search and to seek and find and come up empty. But you want to meet with us, that you can live through us. So Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you into our lives. We invite you into our souls. We give you permission, Lord, that we might find our full contentment in you and you alone.